From Copenhagen, Denmark, welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, cycling is facing some major changes. We are going to dive into two of the biggest and work out how we best approach them.
Plus, some interesting new study from Australia. All the latest pro cycling news, including why one rider got banned from a race because of their seat post. Plus, records broken, one around Australia, and the other one, just a really good one. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that Strava have seemingly backed away from their fight with Garmin.
This is after they filed a lawsuit against Garmin in protest at their demands for Strava needing to display a Garmin logo next to any activity that was recorded on one of their devices.
Whether the lawsuit continued, we don't know yet. But Garmin users will still have their rides and walks uploaded automatically. And all fitness tracker logos will be displayed by Strava to make it fair amongst all the brands, apparently.
Yeah. Now, why have they backed down, do you think?
Probably because us saying, is this the end of Strava? And you lot all agreeing in the comment section, wasn't a great look for them as they're trying to float on Wall Street.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely take the credit.
I reckon
for that. So yeah, thank yous later. Now, we also learned that while celebrating their 180th anniversary, Scientific American have updated one of their most famous graphics, how a human riding a bicycle is one of nature's most efficient travellers, requiring less energy for movement per gram of body weight than basically anything else.
Amazing this, isn't it? So according to Boffins, a human on a bike is biomechanically akin to a fish swimming.
Yeah, and some cyclists, you'd agree, look fishier than others, don't they? Like you, actually, at the end of that hill climb the other day, you looked like a bit of a fish, didn't you?
Don't tell me. A fish out of water,
yeah,
presumably.
Got it. Yeah. And I also learned that renegade aero weenie pro cyclist Jan Willem van Schip has been disqualified again for using, well, forward thinking slash rule breaking slash crazy tech.
It's interesting this one, isn't it? Because he wasn't DQ'd by the commissaires at the race he was riding, but by people back at the UCI's lair in Switzerland, shall we call it, presumably who'd been watching that race and Jan Willem van Schip on television.
Yes. Now, I'm supportive of the UCI. By and large.
You said, yeah, to me, off camera.
But that is not a good look, is it, really? But still, neither is Jan Willem van Schip. I think it's fine for the UCI to implement rules based on keeping cycling looking vaguely like it always has done,
but
frankly.
Is that just because you're getting old, Si, and you don't really want to change or see change?
Well, possibly, but I don't think so. Not least because I am a spring chicken.
Comparatively.
Yes, there you go. But also, I feel like cycling will always have this battle against aerodynamics, won't it? As we know, we would all be much faster if we rode fully fed recumbent bikes, which I think we kind of all agree we don't want to do, otherwise we would have them. So someone has to draw the line somewhere.
True. Okay, no change in road racing then, for good or bad.
No.
But elsewhere in the world of cycling, we're struck by how much change is already on us in tech and also in cycling for transport as well.
Yeah, so I'd like to start there,
okay,
if I may. So this is fresh in my mind after the video release at the weekend where I rode a VOCU, which is an electric four-wheeled cargo bike.
Now, we know what you're thinking. Four-wheeled bike is a bit of a contradiction in terms, especially when it has an electric motor and no chain to directly attach the pedals to the wheels.
Yes, although I should add, the pedals do contribute charge to the motor, though.
You missed that in the video.
I missed that in the video.
The comments were going wild.
Yeah, they were, yeah. So, yeah, my bad, that one. Yeah.
The main issue stems from the fact that it can use cycling infrastructure because it's classified as an electrically assisted pedal cycle.
EPIC.
That's the one.
Yeah. And it would seem like a few of you really, really don't want them to be sharing bike paths with you.
Yeah. So, for example, GCN member Darren C said, that thing does not belong in cycle lanes and even less so in shared use pedestrian and cycle ways.
There you go. Case in point. Now, I said in the video that I personally felt like there was some cycling infrastructure where it didn't feel quite appropriate to ride on it, given that I was in a commercial vehicle. But I also think that we should be embracing vehicles like this as much as possible, because rather than thinking of it as a threat, like, we could see it for what it is, which is much less of a threat than what it's replacing.
Which is vans and trucks?
Yeah, that are heavier, faster, more dangerous, more polluting, and really loud. Is it just me, or are vans really loud?
The electric ones less so.
All right, electric vans are less loud.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, okay. I get what you're saying, but I also get where people are a bit concerned about this. Yes, it's less dangerous, perhaps noisy than a van size.
Yeah, thank you.
But you'd think that it's probably more dangerous than a bike.
True. That is true. But you can make that argument about bikes and pedestrians, can't you?
People do make that argument.
Well, exactly. People do. But thankfully, other people put those fears to one side when it comes to planning so that we can have shared use paths, which I think, by and large, are good.
So are you saying that people should not be worried about commercial vehicles using bike paths?
No, well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that either. In my head, at least, right, these Vox, as I said, are way better than what they're replacing. So I really genuinely want them to catch on, right? I think this would make the city where I live a nicer place, 100%. However, what they are trying to replace is by and large still the easier option for businesses. So yes, Vox are cheaper to buy, much, much cheaper to run, but because they are slower than vans and they've got less capacity, there have to be additional upsides for the businesses that use them, right? And I think those upsides are mainly focused on where they can go.
So, as in that they might not get stuck in traffic, the conventional commercial vehicles.
That's it. They have to be able to avoid the, like, the snags, basically, so they can move freer. And to be clear, I don't think it's businesses that are pushing for this. I think this is like councils and authorities needing this in order to meet all of their like air pollution targets and things.
Yeah, it seems like legislation will need to tighten up though, doesn't it? My idea, Si, is that perhaps bike infrastructure could be classified like roads are classified. So that some of it is allowed for larger vehicles, maybe the bike paths that are on roads, and then some isn't, where it's shared with pedestrians or away from roads.
To be honest with you, Dan, I think that's exactly what's needed.
Well, thank you.
Like, the temptation would then be to like increase the speed or the power of bikes like the Vox. But then actually, I think we should resist that temptation because I think it's great as it is. But because it feels like a human vehicle, right, as opposed to a van. But yeah, I mean, goodness knows how you would classify bike infrastructure, but it wouldn't be that hard, would it?
No, probably not. Take a little bit of thought, wouldn't it?
Yeah, have a nice chat with Google. They could just add it to their maps. Jobs are good. But anyway, change is definitely coming. You mark our words.
Yeah, like it was with Strava and Garmin after we lobbied on the GCN show.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Anyway, we've been meaning to talk about another area of change for the last few weeks as well, but stuff keeps coming up, Si, doesn't
like
it?
Like Strava suing Garmin.
Exactly that. Yeah, and Feather beating Pog.
Yeah,
as
couldn't
well.
Ignore
Don't
that,
forget
one.
That one. But another area you need to look at is bike tech. I've been thinking for a while that after a mental decade where bike tech has changed a lot, disc brakes, electronic shifting, wireless shifting, tubeless, hookless, etc., etc.
That's just on the roadside as well, isn't it? I mean, the invention of gravel bikes, pretty major change over the last decade.
This is also true, Si. So having just gone through all of that, plus more that we haven't even mentioned, I thought maybe we were reaching a bit of a plateau.
Yeah.
Peak tech, so to speak. But I'm not so sure. The Trek Checkout full suspension gravel bike that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think, and that was launched a few weeks back, I think it's going to usher in a big change for gravel.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think full suspension gravel bikes will catch on this time?
I do. I genuinely do. From my extensive racing experience on gravel this year, Si, in two out of
three.
I did.
You did three of them, right?
I did three.
Yeah, okay.
But in two of those, which is well over 50%, 66.66%, I would definitely have used front suspension, if not full suspension, given the choice.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I ask which of your extensive gravel races you didn't feel like you needed suspension?
In one third of my races this year, I wouldn't have used it, and that was at the Gravel World Championships.
Okay.
But it's actually, for me, not about racing. It's for slower rides as well.
Really?
Because, well, who likes bumps? They just slow you down. They make you uncomfortable.
I mean, when you put it like that, yeah, bumps are not exactly the best bit of gravel,
no,
are they?
No, awful. And when gravel first started, it sort of felt fun to basically ride your bike where you shouldn't, like a road bike.
Where you shouldn't, yeah, OK.
Bumps and all,
yeah.
I think we can all agree. But now, with lots of people after wider and wider tyres, that's great, but pneumatic suspension doesn't tend to trump mechanical suspension, I'd say.
No, I think you're right, actually. So as in gravel biking's evolved and now we've got to a point where everyone's just going to expect suspension?
I just think it's going to be faster. Do you remember that 10 years ago when I got obsessed with that single track trail near me in Moores Valley? And I came to that conclusion, I needed a full suspension mountain bike with the drop handlebars because there were lots of sort of braking ruts. And these things just smooth it out. You just go faster. And gravel enthusiasts and competitors are quickly going to find that out, in my opinion.
Well, that's true. And like, you know, modern suspension on mountain bikes, you've got like wicked electric lockouts. You've got like, what's that, flight attendant stuff that basically knows when to lock it out automatically.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'd be a big shift for a lot of gravel riders who have come from the road, won't it? You know,
it
having
will.
Pivots and shocks and stuff, plus added expense up front and maintenance costs.
Mm. Added expense and maintenance costs, but more comfy, Si.
True.
And faster.
Yeah, okay.
Just to reiterate that point.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess we need to ask ourselves then, if change is coming and we can't stop it, what do you do?
Well, suspension is an easy one, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Just don't buy it if you don't want it, frankly. Gravel bikes, they are already great as they are. I should point that out.
Yeah.
I just think on some courses and some terrain, they could be better with suspension.
Okay, all right, but you don't need to buy it. Yeah, as for transport changes, that is a bit harder because if you don't like it and it happens, you sort of can't really avoid it, can you?
We do always say this, don't we? But engage your local authority. So send emails, go to drop-in sessions, because people in local councils are usually normal people, aren't they?
Usually,
who want the best for their own area. But they might not know. So if you just talk to them and give them your opinions, they might well listen.
Yeah. Because you mean that moaning on the internet might not get you what you want?
Potentially, that's what I'm saying, Si. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually just off to meet my local councillor very shortly.
You say that you're in quite the rush to do the GCN show today, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I was basically. I want to get back home because I want to meet my councillor. Not for personal reasons, but it's going to be a GCN video. Okay.
You might not be able to stop change though, Si.
No, that's true.
So you can either fight it or be grumpy about it. Or even in your middle age, you might have to embrace it.
Well, yeah, I mean, let us know in the comment section which one you would go for out of that. Do you fight the change that's coming? Do you just get grumpy about it? Or do you embrace it? Can I just say right now, I will not be embracing Jan Willem van Schip's bike and equipment, nor can I be bothered to fight it, so I will just be grumpy.
Okay.
About it, okay.
Well, we should probably move on before your blood pressure gets too high.
No, I'm pretty chill about it, but you have been warned.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with news from the Pro Peloton and ex-Pro Peloton. Do you remember Tom Dumoulin?
Do I remember Tom Dumoulin? Of course I do. Giro d'Italia winner, world champion in the time trial, many other results, podium at the Tour de France.
Yeah, yeah, great rider. That's the one. If you are still struggling to remember him at home, he is the man who took a dump on the roadside en route to the Giro d'Italia victory.
That is ironically what he's most famous for, isn't it?
Exactly.
Imagine that.
Well, yeah, and since retirement, he's taken to running, which I think you'd agree is a dangerous game.
I was thinking
for
that,
those
yeah.
with rapid bowel movements.
He is blooming fast running though.
Yeah.
Maybe because he wants to make sure he gets to the finish before he has to stop on the side of the road.
Perhaps.
But in all seriousness, he's posted some quite incredible times in the last couple of years in like 10K running events and even half marathons. But at the weekend, he did his first full marathon up in Amsterdam and he did it in under 2.5 hours.
Which is off the scale fast.
Oh man.
But he didn't even pace it very well.
No.
Did he? He ran the first half of it in 1:09 and then he succumbed to cramps and completely blew his doors by the sound of things. But even so, basically, despite slowing to a walking pace, his walking pace was still sub 4 minute Ks.
That's not walking pace, though.
Not really, is it?
I mean, that's what you did for that 5K GTN race
last
year.
That is me maxed
out. You're very proud
of
it. As you should have been. I mean, it's just ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
But some people, like Tom Dumoulin, are just far too talented, aren't
they?
True. Speaking of which, that was a deliberate segue, Si.
Nice.
Paul Seixas of Decathlon 82R. He's been turning quite a lot of heads in the pro cycling world this year. He only turned 19 in September, but he's already picked up a top 10 at his first monument, Il Lombardia, a couple of weeks ago, and a bronze medal the week before that at the European Championships behind Tadej Pogacar and Remco Evenepoel.
Now, for most, this would be reason for a nice, relaxed off-season.
Or just retiring. I'd have retired after that.
Yeah, well, good point, yeah. But Seixas decided instead to go for an epic ride in the Alps. 12 hours long, 324 kilometres, and with over 8,000 metres of elevation gain.
That's not what I would call recharging the batteries at the end of a hard season, but clearly Seixas has made a different batteries to me.
True,
He even took a KOM, didn't he, on that epic ride at the Grand Saint-Bernard, which is a mountain that took him an hour and 46, and that was the KOM.
Whoa, that's an absolute beast. Beast of a climb, beast of a rider.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's just got nothing better to do.
Clearly.
He's only 19.
Well, yeah,
he's probably
true,
spent
yeah.
his life cycling. Everyone else is like at work or, yeah. you know,
Babies and kids are a long way away still, aren't
exactly.
they?
Exactly. What have you got to do? I'll just go for a really long bike yeah. ride. There we go. Anyway, we've got some more racing news now. Sadly, it's been confirmed that Arkea B&B Hotels will cease to exist after this season. So the French squad has been trying to find a new headline sponsor throughout 2025, but have not been successful. To be fair, good on them for letting all their riders and staff know about the uncertainty early on and giving them an opportunity to look for new jobs.
Yeah, because the same can't be said, Si, for that merger that's just been confirmed between Intermarché Wanty and Lotto. Now, rumours have been circulating for quite a long time, but it sounds as though communication from management towards riders and staff about what was actually happening behind the scenes was severely lacking. And so now many find themselves searching for a new job in, what is it, mid-October, late October, when most teams are obviously already quite full.
Yeah, now those with ongoing contracts should legally continue to be paid even if they're no longer with the team. But if you're a bike rider that's not racing, it's going to be pretty hard to put yourself back in the shop window.
It is.
Isn't it? Yeah. But not impossible. There's a few people that have done it recently, haven't they?
It's not impossible, but it does make life a lot harder. I guess at least they should be getting paid. I mean, that's what legally should happen. Whether it actually does is a different matter, unfortunately.
Mm, yeah. Not a good year to be pro, though, is it? Right, just before we finish with pro cycling, and in better news, to be fair, Ineos and Pinarello have renewed their partnership. Mm,
this was good news, wasn't it? It must be one of the longest-standing bike brand and World Tour team deals in cycling, you'd have thought.
Yeah.
Pinarello have been with Team Sky since 2010, now Ineos Grenadiers, of course, and his latest contract is going to see the two remain together for at least the next three seasons.
That is cool, isn't it? Mm. Now, moving on, some congratulations to Loz Walters, who has just broken the record for an unsupported lap of Australia.
So Walters' time for the 14,686 kilometres was 50 days, 14 hours and 7 minutes. He beat a 17-year-old record by only 10 hours and 40 Ooh. Minutes, so it was quite close. Now, he did that despite doing it on a single speed.
Wow.
Talk about making things harder for yourself. I also raised more than £1,800 for the Royal National Lifeboat Institution here in the UK.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? I did some maths, Dan. Yeah. 10 hours, right, after 50 days is basically a sprint finish. So a 2-second gap in a 4-hour race, if you expand that out, is like 13 hours after 50 days.
That's a Lorena Vibes sprint finish, though, isn't it? A 2-second gap.
2-second gap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, right.
I get what you're saying. It's close.
I mean, it's pretty close. Two seconds, you'd be like, oh, that was close.
Yeah.
So he basically had been riding around in a blind panic for the last, like,
oh, yeah, it must
probably
have been
like
a
20
hard
days.
Final few days.
Oh, imagine that. Imagine this on your single speed, you're going up some hills, just going like, I'm not even going to make the record. anyway, yeah, well done. Well done, Loz. Same with Australia, actually, we've got more news, haven't we? Some data has come in to show that 20-mile-an-hour speed limits help to protect cyclists and make riding less stressful, which is kind of what we already knew, right? But it also doesn't increase traffic congestion or delays for motorists.
Yeah, we saw this on Road CC, I think it was, wasn't it, who looked at the study from the Royal Melbourne Institute of Technology. They'd modelled speed limit reductions from 50 down to 30 kilometres per hour in urban areas of Melbourne, finding that a reduced speed limit doubled bike usage on what they called low-stress streets.
Yeah, they said that the lack of any impact on motorists was down to the speed limits only being put in place on central local streets rather than larger, busier roads.
Sounds like everyone was a winner, really, on that one, doesn't it?
It does, really, yeah.
Moving on, there's a new wheelie world record. No more puns, please, Si.
I think they came from you.
They did indeed. Oscar Delaite. I think he's French. Delaite? Delaite? There's an E on the end.
Delaite?
Oscar Delaite. Or Delaite. We'll write it below. Anyway, Oscar, we'll call him Oscar. For
Oscar, where Oscar?
Oscar almost doubled the previous marker. He rode on a wheelie for just over 150
Whoa.
Kilometres. And more impressive than that, for me at least, was that he did it in 6.5 hours.
Wow.
So that's an average speed of 23 kilometres per hour.
That's pretty good going, isn't it? Yeah. What I would like to know, Dan, is what happened at 150 kilometres. Did he just decide to stop? Or did he actually just lose balance?
I didn't actually think to read that. I'm not sure that was part of the article that I read. Maybe he just got hungry after 150k.
Yeah.
Although, he is also the world record holder for the longest wheelie single-handed, as in one-handed wheelie. So presumably, he was able to take on nutrition whilst he was doing 150Ks.
Presumably, I mean, two things struck me. Firstly, you could cycle normally and go for a wee if you need to without stopping, but pretty hard if you're doing a wheelie. But also, you wouldn't be able to get out of the saddle, would you, for 150K?
No, he had tilted his saddle in a sort of Pogacar style.
I just wonder whether he had a sore bump.
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah. Do you reckon he can't wheelie out the saddle?
Well, I mean, you could, but risky. Harder, yeah. Anyway, there we go. Maybe he was just trying to stretch his glutes out. Right.
anyway, well done, Oscar.
Well done, Oscar, yeah. Some tech news now. Campagnolo have just upgraded their flagship group set, or sort of added bits to it, haven't they?
Yeah, like it's called the Ultra Line, I think it is.
Ultra Super Record.
So it's got a re-engineered bottom bracket and chainring, and a cassette which is made out of aerospace-grade titanium that saves up to 44 grams if you take the 11 to 36 tooth option.
Now, all in, these upgrades will cost you £900. So what's that, about €1,000 or dollars? Mm-hmm. But we can all rejoice because it saves you 81 grams.
Nice.
In total.
Just over £10 a gram.
Yeah. Bargain. Absolute bargain. Anyway, let's finish cycling short, shall we, by reminding you that a Hover Air giveaway is still open. So this is your opportunity to put yourself in with a chance of winning a Hover Air X1 Pro Max cycling bundle.
We need to remind you, it's only open to residents of Europe. So don't apply if you live elsewhere.
Which for pedants also includes the UK, doesn't it, Dan?
It does indeed, yeah. But, I mean, we're no longer in the EU, but we are still in Europe, Si.
There we go.
Just to point that out. All the details of the giveaway can be found by clicking on the link in the description below. Entry's going to close this Friday at 10 a.m. BST. That's the 24th of October. And the winner will be announced on a GCN show sometime after that.
Good luck, folks.
Next up, it is time for hack/bodge of the week. globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader to get involved in this part of the show. Our first one this week comes in from Ryan Sayer, automatic chain waxer. Little project I've been working on for a while, still in the prototype phase, but can now complete a wax cycle correctly. The machine in the picture keeps a molten pool of wax at 70 degrees C, plus or minus 1 degree C, accurate, and slowly draws the bike chain through the pool while articulating it to aid in wax penetration. The process takes about 20 minutes.
Well, there you go. So for our podcast listeners, what we have here is, it looks like a kind of thing that would you just slip your back wheel into to hold your bike upright.
A stand.
Yes, thank you. AKA a stand. In this case, though, there's an extra little jockey wheels in there, and I think the chain basically gets sucked through this like wax pool. I mean, that looks great. I'm not a big chain waxer, got to be said, but
I like a wax chain, just don't like, I don't know how to do it, partly. Alex did mine for the World Gravel Champs, thank you.
He did, yeah. Well, I mean, I think if this does make the process easier, but what the main thing is that you have to have a scrupulously clean chain, don't you? So, like, as long as you've already got a clean chain, then this will work. But if you've got to have a scrupulously clean chain,
this often, is where you come undone, isn't it?
My chains are all scrupulously clean, mate.
Are they?
Apart from the cargo bike, yeah. I don't know. I think it's cool, though.
I think
it's great.
Great. Yeah, I mean, just to give another description to podcast listeners, it's like a bike stand in combination with one of those old chain cleaners that you used to get, except it's rather than cleaning the chain, it puts wax on it. I think it's great.
All right, we're going to say hack. Then,
I'm saying hack, definitely,
all right.
Yeah.
Ryan, we trust you. We're going to say hack. Next one, this one's sent in by from Joe. DI2 cable tube on a bike without internal cable routing. So this, basically, if you've got DI2, you need that little cable. Normally it goes through the bike, doesn't it? But on this bike, a gravel bike, Joe didn't have that option. So he has used a PU air hose, for those who are interested, size OD by ID 6mm by 4mm, PU06/040. Yeah, which fits perfectly in the old mechanical cable routing, apparently, and will feed a DI2 cable through it. So there you go. I was looking for zip ties, Dan, but actually,
none there.
There aren't.
Very
any.
Clean chain as well, and cassette.
Very
this
clean.
Is someone that takes pride in their bike.
I think that's because it's brand spanking new. When he said, I've just fitted a DI2 group set. But anyway, yeah, that's wicked. I like that.
Yeah, that's a hack from me as well then.
Yep.
Rick at Zone 3 Sports, broken front derailleur spring fix.
What's Zone 3 when it's at home these days?
It's just above Zone 2.
And below Zone 4?
Yeah,
okay. Do we train in Zone 3?
I probably do when I'm supposed to train in zone 2.
There we go.
And when I'm supposed to train in zone 4.
Zone 3 sports, where you're supposed to be in zone 2, but yeah, get excited. Okay.
Anyway, back to it. As I was tuning up a bike, I noticed the return spring for the front derailleur was broken, so needed replacing. After several unsuccessful attempts to find a replacement derailleur for this triple chainring crankset, I realised I could try a strong elastic wrapped around the frame and the parallelogram to see if that worked. I used an elastic from a Garmin mount and zip tie for tension. By golly, it works like a charm.
Do you know what?
The zip tie really does add tension, Si, I would say.
Do you know what? Well, there's tension in this room. That's true.
That was the joke.
Okay. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It was a good joke, that.
Well, thank you.
I'm here for this, Dan.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I'm here for this. I genuinely feel like this looks like a fairly, like old bit of kit, and they've breathed new life into it.
Yeah.
So what up, Rick?
It's a piece of kit, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long your Garmin elastic band is going to last. Mm. I don't suppose it's designed for that purpose, but there you go. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm saying hack as well. It's a, I know we've got one left to go. Well, the bat says 100% hack week.
Still time for this to go wrong. Oh, yeah. Good Lord. What is this? From Aaron.
It looks like it might have gone
wrong. Carry stuff by bike. Okay, so podcast, this is what we're seeing here is a bike. Then about, what's that, about 5 metres behind, there is a trailer.
About 5.5 metres.
Oh, well, there you go then. I had to go and pick up a couple of 5.5 metre long boards. Yeah, good shout there. But they did not fit on my bike trailer. As I was not going to drive a ridiculous short distance, I uncoupled my trailer, secured one end of the bundle of boards to the trailer, tied the other end to my seat rails. I made the 2K trip home without any problems. Though I couldn't use the bike path and had to take corners really wide. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I think that's cool.
Imagine seeing that riding along.
I wonder whether you should keep it like that.
Look at the rake on that fork.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that looks like a nice city bike, though.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Very cool.
I think we're going to have to say hack for that, aren't we?
I think we are.
Means to an end for transporting long boards.
Well, yeah, because, you know, if you don't have a roof rack on your car, then you're completely stuck.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, I like that. Fantastic. Oh, what an amazing week of hacks.
Well, I was premature in saying 100% hack week, but I was great. 4 hacks out of 4. We do like this part of the show, as we always say, so make sure you get involved, ready for next week's show.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. First of all, though, results from last week.
Last week's photo was this one of Tadej Pogacar celebrating on the podium of Il Lombardia about 24 hours before he was beaten by Andrew Feather.
He's
squinting somewhat for podcast listeners, and our winner this week is Simon Miller -J6H. At the UAE 2026 team presentation, replacing our recent departure to Little Trek, we'd like to introduce our latest recruit, Juan Ayuslis. In case you need to spell it out, Juan Ayuslis.
There you go. And for those of you that need it really spelt out, that's Juan Ayuso that's off to Little Trek, presumably?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
There you go. I mean, we sucked all the humour out of it, but brilliant. Juan Ayuso.
It was really funny when we first read it.
It was brilliant, yeah. No, Simon, we like that very much. It was a competitive week last week, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. We just had to narrow it down from 4 pre-selections that we'd made.
Yeah.
Didn't we? I
mean, oh, to think you might have been one of those ones that's just been deleted.
Yeah.
Tough times. All right, well, anyway. Got another chance to enter now. This week's photo, Dan, is... Whoa, that's weird.
I don't know what's going on here, but this... I'll try to explain. So this is from the Tour of Huangji, where this man, Paul Manier of Sudal Quickstep, won all 5 of the bunch sprints. He's on the podium with a cardboard cutout of himself on a moped.
But it looks a little bit like, you know, when your kids are little and you're kind of carrying them on your hip. He looks a little bit like he's carrying a small version of himself.
Version of Paul Manier. Anyway, I'm going to get you started and I have to explain what it means.
Great, this bodes well.
For people that don't keenly keep an eye on bike racing. Is that Paul Manier or Paul Double? Right. The winner overall of the race and the only other rider to won a stage, which was the Queen stage, was Jayco Alula's Paul Double. So Paul's won all of the stages. I thought it fitted quite well with two Paul Magnets on there.
Brilliant. Thanks that so is much, an absolutely genius caption, Dan, for the four people that paid attention to the results of
Tour of Huangji.
Tour of Huangji, yeah. That was good.
Thanks.
Well done. See if you can beat it.
Comments of the week now, before we let you know what's coming up on the channel this week. Quite a few to get through because both Si and I pulled some out without knowing that each other had already done so. Starting with last week's GCN show, Feather versus Poggy. Tim R123, 100% on the use of privacy settings to avoid dog poo walks, but the dog poo bag was clever.
Yeah, this was a hack last week where someone had broken something on a bike. I can't remember what it was. It's like a rear brake hose was flapping around, and no one had anything on the group ride to fix it apart from one guy who pulled out a dog poo bag. So they tied the brake hose with the
genius
dog poo bag. Yeah, I mean, it worked, right? So, and it was a clean dog poo bag, we're told.
Perfect.
Yeah,
it's kind of easy, isn't it? Michael Major, he gave 7 minutes head start, this is Pogacar, and it was way less than 7 minutes difference at the end, so he beat everyone by quite a big margin.
A lot of people were quibbling with this. So I don't think anyone has said that Andrew Feather was faster than Tadej Pogacar, but he did get to the finish line first.
Yeah.
So surely, therefore, he beat Tadej Pogacar. It's a bit like saying in a breakaway at the Tour de France, like, you know, they didn't actually win the stage because Pogacar got to the bottom
of
the climb.
That said, Si, I'm not sure if we mentioned this, but all of the important GCN presenters are competing on Sunday at the National UK Hill Climb Championships, and I think I'm going to get to the finish of that before Feather does.
That's true, because you're starting 4 hours before him on a 3-minute climb. But that's a time trial.
Yeah.
This was a mass start race.
Yeah.
He just showed up 7 minutes late.
I agree with you. I'm basically trying to promote our participation and hope that people come out and cheer me on, but not the other three.
Yeah. I'm busy, unfortunately, this weekend.
Yeah. Was it ballet now?
No, gymnastics.
Okay, still again.
No, I'm not a fan of ballet.
I mean, we've got loads of comments to get through.
We've lingered
on the second one.
Two. Rob Kavanagh said, I was at the Pogacar event myself and saw Poggy go past me. Presumably you did, because only one person said he didn't. He was laughing and joking with people going up the climb. I'm pretty sure if he wanted to, he would have beaten Andrew comfortably. Still, Andrew was ridiculously impressive.
The problem Andrew had was he had no one to overtake to laugh and joke with. Otherwise, he might have done the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, he's not the kind of laughy, jokey kind of guy, Andrew.
No,
he's a lovely, lovely man.
But
I can't imagine him mid-climb suddenly rocking out the megabands.
I'm a laughy, jokey kind of guy, but not on a mountain. I haven't got much of a sense of humour then. Deschantier, great episode, a true Cinderella story. This also makes me wonder how many other Andrews are out there that either just didn't get pursued or got the opportunity to get into the pro leagues.
Yeah.
Good point.
Very good point there, isn't it? The professional cycling is just full of people like us that had every opportunity and just didn't capitalise on it. Yeah. Ah, well. Lots of people saying how much they would love to know more about Andrew's life and his training and things. TJP32, for example. We need a day in the life of Andrew Feather video. Mm. See how many McDonald's he eats, how many jam sandwiches.
I know, yeah. Yeah. Do you know what? The amount of content we've done with Andrew Feather over the last few years, but in particular the last couple of weeks, I did start to wonder whether people might have started to get a bit sick of it. Then I reminded myself, I've been in content for 13 years and I'm still hoping that people are going to watch this crap that I put out.
Well, I mean, you have made a lot of comebacks, Dan. Yes.
People are really... They do want more of Andrew Feather, which
they
is good
more
to hear.
More of Andrew Feather, they do,
very
yeah.
happy.
Also, I like... There was a couple of things. Peter Wasted and Danny Adiputra had similar ideas. What we'd like to know is how good a lawyer Pogacar would make.
Yeah.
Is the legal profession mourning the day that Tadej was talent spotted? And Danny said, it's not too late for Poggy to go to law school with some high-profile cases to cement his legacy as the best cyclist times lawyer. So, yeah. Oh, imagine that. Imagine if Feather had to, like, suddenly up his game in the legal profession.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gave Pogacar a head start on a case, then couldn't get it finished before him.
Yeah.
Rupert Langdon, but Dan Lloyd is definitely impressive on 2 hours training a week. He was 13th of the 38 great British riders.
I basically, last week in your absence, I suggested that you were perhaps the fastest person at the Gravel World Champs who had done 2 hours of training per week. And anyway, there you go. 13th out of 38 GB yeah. rides. That's good skills,
mate. I'll take that. Ironically, I've done more training in the week after the World Championships than I had for any week for about the 12 before it. Seems to be more motivated now. Anyway, the van that's a bike, that's the Vocu. Fraser Goodwin, congratulations for discovering a bike that's big enough for Connor to experience what drafting feels like. Meanwhile, virtual Ruby Racing, but the windscreen on that machine was still narrower than the size usual sunglasses. I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one as well, yeah. And then we had a few people who have experiences of seeing Vox out in the wild. Charlie Walton said, in Norwich, we see these used by Amazon. They travel from their depot on the ring road into the city using an old railway that's now a mixed-use path for people, bikes and horses. When I encountered one head-to-head, we were both scraping the bushes and it was still less than 30 centimetres of my handlebars, doing 15 mile an hour and fully loaded with parcels. So there we go. I think that it's a loophole and more needs to be done to perhaps limit the size and weight of these things. So yeah, there you go.
Matthew Emden, spot on with this video. Lots of upsides from a business and sustainability perspective. They're stretching the bike category, and when using the bike lanes, they take up a lot of room. However, to your last point, if this becomes an opportunity to expand the bike lane network, maybe the short-term annoyance is worth it in the long run. Great video.
That's it, yeah. And then we, interestingly, not as many people, perhaps unsurprisingly, from the US were watching this video compared to normal. But I was very pleased to see this comment from Jackson Bangs, 6603. I would be so down for using one of these Vought e-powered cycles here in the USA. My job is driving a pickup truck around to all the city parks here in Medford, Oregon, picking up trash and cleaning bathrooms. This is awesome. Mm. So there we go.
Finally, Gilbert Tang, Vokier. I like that thing. Sad is yet another innovation we won't see widely adopted in the US anytime soon. I'm happy to see some pedal assist delivery trucks in New York and San Francisco. Finally, underneath, I attended the four hardest workouts on Ruby. This is from Connor. Bunt8388. I'm just an old guy, not a racer, but I love Ruby. Pick a road anywhere in the world and have a nice ride, I'm in. Plus lots of killer workouts.
Yeah, Ridiculous, 1371. I've been using Ruvi for years. Then iKurt06. Connor is my favourite GCM presenter. Who put that one in?
I thought that was you.
No, I didn't put that one in.
Has Connor been on the script, has he? I didn't put it in. Yeah. I would never put that in.
Absolutely not.
No. Meanwhile, DJR Lloyd, Connor's shed looked a little cosy. Is it a small shed or a normal-sized shed with Connor in it? Thought that was good. Right, coming up on the channel this week then, on Thursday, five of us, not the four, not just the four that are...
There was no gymnastics that day, mate.
Five of us GCN presenters here in the UK did a race on Zwift, didn't we?
We
did. It wasn't quite what we expected when we were roped into doing it in the first place.
No, but we found out once and for all who the fittest and generally best GCN presenter was, didn't we?
All presenters. We'll wait for them to find out.
All right.
And on Saturday... You might remember Naomi Rosa from some videos in the summer. They completed 50 miles, didn't they?
They did, and Naomi used their clipless pedals.
Exactly.
First time in the week.
Well, they're both back, and they've both been doing indoor training for 30 days, so we're going to see what happened to them.
That's it, yeah. They've never done it before. So, yeah, see how they got on with that one. And then Sunday... probably not worth reading that one, is it?
No, probably going to leave it there, shall we?
What is it? Gravel World Championships.
Yeah.
With you. Yep. So that's your video, isn't it?
Yeah. It was a 6-hour race. It could be quite a long video.
No, I've seen the introduction to this one and I want to see more because it is very funny.
That's the best bit. Stop watching after 30 seconds. Right, thanks for watching.
Yeah,
see you
cheers,
again next
everyone.
Week.
See you later.